Is the mic on? Episode 81. What's wrong with Orny Adams? I wake up every day and have to manufacture optimism. I have to convince myself that I should be excited about this world. Whereas I used to wake up when I was a kid, I'm genuinely just an optimistic person. That's my disposition. I'm a fighter. But now everything sucks so bad. Everything. I don't want to name them and depress you, but what happened? So now I have to convince myself. I have to sit there and think, okay, it's not that bad. Look, I've done well. I'm home. I can afford to eat. I'm not struggling. Knock on wood. I have so much that I should be happy. But why do I have to convince myself? You shouldn't have to. Like, if you're on a beach in a tropical island, you don't have to wake up and look around at the sand and the ocean and the nature and the beauty and the tranquility and think, wow, I'm really grateful to have this. No, you know it. It's in your face. It's in your face. Well, what's in our face now is just chaos, manufactured chaos by politicians, by people pulling the levers, the strings. Actually, we pull the levers, the people. And we should discontinue a lot of these people is what really should happen. It's just every day, every single day. What happened to this world? It sucks. It sucks. Episode 81, coming at ya. What's going on with the people at the gym? People used to go to the gym to sweat. Gyms used to be gross places. Now they're fashion shows. Now it looks like the people are going to Coachella. Are we here to work out or is this a music festival? There are people at the gym dressed nicer than what I wear on stage. People get dressed up and then they just sit on the phone on a piece of equipment and don't move. Don't look up to see if somebody else wants the equipment. The selfishness in this rotten world of people and the disconnectedness. I mean, I don't even honk at people anymore because it'll just get you killed. You used to be able to honk and then someone would go, oh, sorry. Now they don't even look up on their phones when you honk at them. People at the gym, these are the most pathetic people at the gym to me. The people that have these coordinated outfits. Okay, I'm wearing Adidas right now, just the pants, but they were given to me. Okay? But there's people at the gym that have a Nike hat, they have a Nike shirt, Nike shorts, Nike socks, Nike sneakers. Nike, Nike, Nike. I'm sure they probably have Nike briefs on. I mean, this person isn't even sponsored by Nike. There are professional athletes that wear less Nike than this person. What is it? What do they think? This makes them legitimate? That they're an actual athlete because they're wearing the Nike everywhere? And by the way, now it feels like I'm doing an ad for Nike. I'm wearing Adidas right now, but it was given to me on Teen Wolf. Okay, I was sort of sponsored by Nike. Nike used to give me a lot of free stuff. If you ever see me wearing Nike or Adidas, it was given to me. And I still wouldn't wear a hat. I'm wearing a hat right now, an Orny Adams hat. You know why? Because it benefits me. I have a phobia hat. My new fear of being included. If you know my routine, I don't want to go to your parties. I don't have a fear of missing out. I have the opposite. I have fear of being included. My biggest fear is getting an invitation. In fact, somebody just contacted me and said, I want to send you an invitation for my son's graduation. I'm like, oh, God. First of all, I'm not going to go. Second of all, does this mean I have to send a gift? Is this a shakedown? Like, I don't want to be invited. Just leave me out. Those get-togethers are for other people. They're not for me. That's why I have phobia. And now, by the way, I'll do an ad for myself in the middle of this. You can now get the phobia hats and phobia shirts and phobia stickers on orneyadams.com in my store. Okay, so these people, they're not sponsored by Nike. And they wear, I mean, it's sad. I'm sure when he leaves the gym, he probably has Nike sunglasses. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. And if you're this person and this makes you mad, then this is your wake-up call. You have reached brand loyalty bottom. What's wrong with Orny Adams? Episode 81.
What's his name, Kev?
Orny.
Man, do I have a lot. I got a big checklist today of stuff. We got a lot going on. Orny Adams. Where's page two? Oh, there it is.
So
Oh, boy. I'm going to do some generic topics off the bat. Then I'm going to play you a clip from Tim Conway Jr., the radio show here in Los Angeles. And it's also syndicated on iHeartRadio here in Los Angeles, 640 a.m. A.M. bringing this way down. Way down. I have a lot. Lot. You know, it's funny because when I prepare for this podcast, I keep a running list on my phone of topics to discuss. And I always think I don't have enough. And then when I wake up the morning of, I'm like, I have too much. This is two episodes. And I don't know what that is. I don't know. My brain blocks me from thinking I ever have enough. And I better have enough because this Friday, I will be filling in for Tim Conway Jr. on his radio show here, 640 a.m. I know we're laughing because it's a.m., but this has a big reach. I did the show as a guest a couple weeks ago, and it sold a lot of tickets for me at the Bellflower Comedy Club. So I called back in. Then I went in last week, and they asked me in the interim. They said, hey, listen, this sounds wild, but Tim is going away next Friday. It's this Friday. Let me look at what the date would be. This Friday, May 26, okay? I will be filling in for Tim Conway Jr. on his radio show. Now, I know nothing about radio, but I'm excited to do this. And the producers are really helping me to put together a show. But it's 4 hours of talk radio. I'm talking for over 2.5 hours of that. The rest are commercials. So I have to fill in the blank. So I might do the Nike bit again. Although I don't know if you can talk about Nike or what you can and can't talk about. Like, I want to make fun of a Kia in a minute, and I want to make fun of other places. I don't know what the rules are within this because I'm so spoiled by having a podcast where I can, and being on stage, I can say whatever I want. And I realized something about this podcast. This is freedom. Right now, I'm free. I'm free to talk and say what I want and get my thoughts out. I can look into this camera or this camera or this camera. And then I can get it out. I can disseminate my message. And people can listen. They can choose or choose not to listen. I hope you choose to. And be a part of this. And that to me is really cool. So now Corporate Orny this Friday will be on the Tim Conway Jr. show. I'm going to play a clip right now because I went into the studio and this aired on his show last week. Something strange has happened in the last year. And it might be my More Than Loud comedy special on YouTube. I'm being recognized more and more. Okay, I don't want to brag, but the pickle guy at the farmer's market knew me. The pickle guy gave me a free jar of pickle. I wish I gotten the spicy one too. And the pickle guy's coming to my show at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach, California. He's got great pickles. I wish I remember the name, but the pickle guy. He's a pickle guy. Recognize me. Every place I eat, they recognize me, and then I got to tip more. And we should talk about tipping, because now tipping's now a hot topic. People are now complaining about having to tip machines. Like, you know, when you order like on a computer, and I did this video a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, about having to tip a machine of Panera Bread. I order for myself on Panera Bread. I don't see a single person in there. Somebody just put the food up on the counter. I never saw the person put it up on the counter. I never saw anybody cleaning. I was alone in the restaurant. It was just me in the restaurant. I did everything. I paid for it myself. I took a cup myself. I filled up my own drink. I had to clear my table. I had to pick up my food in the window. And then as I left, I'm like, and I tipped them. I'm like, who did I just tip? And then I thought, wait a minute. What if they were being held up in the back and they were all in the cooler and there was a heist going on? Panera Bread was being robbed while I sat there and ate my sandwich. And maybe the robber's like, hey, you got to get out there. You got to get out there and make a sandwich so he doesn't call the fuzz, the cops. And so I brought this up a year and a half ago. Once again, I'm ahead of the curve, and eventually the curve catches up with me. Now everyone's talking about it. On TikTok, people are making videos. Somebody was upset that they wanted the worker expected a tip on a $2 ice cream cone. And the tip was like 50%. The first suggestion was like a dollar. Tipping is out of control. It's out of control. Now, workers deserve fair tips. It's a part of our culture here. But holy cow, did I share with you the picture? When we were driving back from Vegas, there was a rest stop. And in the rest stop, the person cleaning the bathroom, the cart was outside of the bathroom. There was a tip jar on the cart. The bathroom cleaner. I got to pay everyone's wages? I worked for tips before. I appreciate tips. People tip me after shows. I love tips. But it's got to be a job. Listen, don't clean bathrooms. If you want tips, you got to get a job where the tip is part of the culture. But now with these screens, with the suggestion, the other thing is when you go out to eat, you don't have any time to digest your receipt. Like what they do is they come over, they hand you a bill for the meal, and then they're standing over you with the iPad or the device, and they're like waiting for the credit card. And you're like, well, can I just take a second to look and just see if everything rang in correctly, if there's anything that shouldn't be on the bill, if I was charged or something. And then they take your card, you don't have time, they run it, and then they put the screen right in your face. They go, now you got to tip them in front of them. It's out of control. It's out of control. I want to talk about, let me play this. So I'm being recognized, pickle guy recognized, waitresses, people, like more and more. Well, I'm not used to this. Like I'm sort of used to being anonymous. Sorry, it's trash day. People are picking up trash. If you can hear that noise in the background, the beeping and the truck. But this is it. We're in the wild here. I'm in a Shasta. I'm in Big Yellow. So it's more and more. It's more frequent, which is cool. But now I got to reform my behavior because now I got to be concerned. I got to worry, like when I'm eating, do these people know me? Are people sneaking pictures of me, which I can't stand more than anything? And I sort of have to, in my mind, always be aware that a person might know me. And I didn't the other day. And I lost my temper. I got into it with somebody. And I'm not kidding. The person knew me. And I'm not saying this so you, but I'm not a young person. I'm not new in the business where like there's a thrill that I'm being recognized. Like I remember early on, I was like, yeah, I just got recognized. You know, and it was never... You'd get recognized, like I do a show in New York City, and then like four blocks later, somebody go, hey, aren't you the comedian? And you're like, I got recognized. You got recognized because somebody was leaving the show, and you were leaving the show, and they happened to see you three blocks later. This isn't this. This isn't this. Like, I'm not bragging, but this actually happened. This is me on the Tim Conway Jr. show discussing the bicycle incident.
I don't speed anymore with low
temp. Hold on. The clip opens... We're talking about, he was talking about my old bit, low T, which is what I close the More Than Loud special with. So he's talking about how he doesn't have low T anymore. And if you know the bit, I say every bad decision I ever made was on high T. That low T is a blessing. That low T, you don't really lose it anymore. You don't care if people get upset at you or somebody cuts you off in traffic. Well, it turns out that's not the case because I did care when Mr. Bicycle Guy did. So that's where you're coming into. That's the soft entryway into this clip. I didn't want to play too much of the discussion or a discussion of us discussing one of my old bits, but here you go.
I don't speed anymore with low testosterone.
Well, I don't either. I don't care if someone flips me off. I don't. Yeah. Although I got into a fight with a biker.
You
got to
tell that story.
Really?
That's a great story.
I was going to tell it on my podcast.
All right.
And I kind of want to deny it if the biker, like if a guy on a bike, like a 10 speed, whatever they call those. We got this. This is California. People in California. We've got these guys that dress up in this full outfit.
Like their bike.
To go biking.
Right.
They think they're doing some sort of big bike of, I don't know what it's called, when they go through the mountains or something.
Yeah, a Tour de France.
They think this is a Tour de France. They turn our neighborhoods in Tour de France. They go about 85 miles per hour down the street. God forbid you pull out.
Sure.
Now you got a gang of them ready to kick your ass, right? It's scary. Right. It's scary. So, but one of my favorite things to do is when they sort of, you know, are aggressive with me. I'm in a car. Right. So I'm like, they can't catch me.
Sure.
So it's kind of fun like a kid. You're like, screw you. And you just keep going. You know they can't catch you.
Right.
Well, so the other day, this guy, everybody is wrong in this story, okay, including myself. This guy is veering in and out of the lane. And there's a full to the right. This guy could be to the right and safe, but he wants to pretend he's like a car. Right. Okay, get out of my lane.
Right,
it's a two lane. We're going up Cahuenga here, and now we need to pass him. Right as we're about to pass him, he sort of veers
close to us, and we can't go to the left. I wasn't driving. We can't because there's another car there. So she hits the horn really aggressively. He gives the finger, right? So now I got to defend her.
Right. You got to get involved.
And I see about 100 yards stretch that we can beat him on. Right. So I roll down the window. I go, out of the way, F-head. Right? The light turns yellow.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
Now I go, he's going to hit the bumper. He's going to stand in front of the car and not get let. I go, run the light. Run. Right. Now I'm not such a tough guy. I go, run the light. Run the light. Just run it. I go, if the police pull us over, we'll say we're being chased by this guy, okay? On the 10 speed and the tidy. He's wearing little spandex.
Sure, right.
The spandex is attacking us. Right. So comes up to the light and sort of looks at me. And I go, okay, he's not hitting the car. So I thought, because I felt bad that I yelled at him now.
Sure.
So I rolled down the window. I said, hey, buddy. I go, we just want you to be safe. And he looks at me and he goes, are you Orny Adams?
10 seconds ago, you tell him to go F himself.
And the car, and it turned green. And it took, and I said, I was scared because I go, this guy's going to go on social media.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
And in my head, I'm like, I'm going to deny it publicly if he ever. But I want to apologize for calling the guy an F-head. But it was good old road rage.
Right.
Remember when road rage stayed on the road? Now it's in stores. You go to Walmart, people are yelling at each other, airplanes.
But you're from Boston. So in Boston, in New York, I've noticed this. Road rage it lasts for a block and then you make up with the guy.
Right.
Or you don't talk to the guy. Here, it lasts for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, I saw you 2 weeks ago. You did this and this. But in New York, you say F you, the guy says F you, and then you go your separate ways.
Yes.
And you forget about it.
Right.
But out here, you never forget about
it. No, it's a good release.
It's great.
But
it really
here,
is.
You can get shot.
That's right.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, the people on social media. There's a guy in Florida. I want to get into Florida. First of all, as a public service announcement, I want to advise all people in Florida to stay away from alligators. Guy just got his arm bit off in Port Charlotte. Now, I'll tell you this. I was doing shows in Port Charlotte, Florida, and there was a sort of in between the road and where this club was a little bit of water, like almost like a pond, like a retaining pond. And the opening act, a feature, night one, said, I saw, when I left, he left to go do some errands in between shows. He said, I saw an alligator. I go, the pond? He goes, no, on the like about 100 yards away. And then they told me, which of course they probably don't tell the patrons, but they told me that somebody was attacked by an alligator. A homeless guy was like cleaning himself in the river and had been doing it for years, got attacked by the alligator. So every day when we drove in, he would park in a way, this is my opening act, would pick me up at the hotel and it would drive me to the comedy club and park in a way that if I open my door, it's grass. And about 25 yards later, the retaining pond of water, the little pond. And so I always said, drop me off over here. And I felt like it was being a little bit ridiculous, but there had been an alligator sighting in the area or somebody got attacked by it. So every night. And then this week, sure enough, somebody got attacked by an alligator outside a bar in Port Charlotte, Florida. So I wasn't being crazy. I'm telling you, going to Florida has become dangerous. They got the alligators. Remember that flight from Sarasota? I landed in Sarasota. Well, almost didn't land because we almost hit another airplane on the runway, which was being investigated. I don't know what happened to the investigation, but we were within 100 yards of the ground, and they aborted. I talked about it on this podcast. They aborted the flight. So Florida's become dangerous for many other reasons, too, which I won't get into. But remember on the podcast, I discussed this because I was out with Jim Clemente, the FBI guy. Remember him, the profiler? And I said, look at I said, there was a guy who was attacked by an alligator. He was looking for frisbees. It was near like this frisbee, they call them discs. He was at a frisbee park. I'm going to call it a frisbee. And people play ultimate frisbee or something. It's set up. It's like a golf course. I don't know where these people come from. Probably the Dungeons and Dragons convention. And frisbees sometimes go in the water. And there are signs all over. Don't go in the water. There are alligators. Well, every single night, this guy would go collect the Frisbees. He was so hard up for money. Now, this is a guy who needs a tip jar. He would go collect the Frisbees in the water where the alligators were and then sell them back to the Frisbee losers. These people that play Ultimate Frisbee and play Ultimate Dungeons and Dragons and probably do Civil War reenactments. These people. And I don't even know any of them. I apologize to the Frisbee people. I shouldn't have put you in category with those people. But this victim, 47-year-old Sean McGinnis, I talked about on this podcast. Guy was attacked by an alligator. They found him missing three limbs. And here's the best part about the article, okay? The final line says, the medical examiner has still not determined the cause of death. This is right here. The exact cause of death. The exact cause of death is the guy was attacked by an alligator. Now, whether he saw the alligator coming and had a heart attack and then died, the alligator still killed him. He's missing three limbs. That's part of the death equation. So you don't have to be a schooled medical examiner to make this sort of argument. And I was telling Jim Clemente this because I'm developing this as a routine. And of course, he ruins it with his FBI logic and laws. And he goes, well, there's a difference between this and cause of death and death and blah, 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 blah. So he ruined it. Thank you, Florida. But there was a guy, this is what I wanted to say, pulling it back in, for wrapping it around, coming back around, touching third again to the story about the bicyclist guy who flipped me off and I yelled at and then turned out knew me. Thank God he hasn't reached out to me. I apologized to him on the Tim Conway show. I felt bad. But, you know, social media, I might just stop responding to everybody. I might just say, I'm done. People expect a response to your questions. Why do people feel like they're entitled to hear from me? Why do you think you deserve an answer? Okay, there's a guy at my show in Florida, and I was doing my phobia bit. I was getting into it. And I asked people, you know, about if, because I was asked to bring something to a party. And I'm like, well, you're rich. Why would you ask me to bring something to the party? So you'll have to hear the routine if you come to a live show. But this guy was paying the check. So I said, sir, just trying to jar him out of paying the check. I go, would you ask? You wouldn't ask me to bring something, would you? And he goes, yeah, wine. And I made a face and I mocked him, which is what happens at a comedy show. Well, he's reached out to me several times on Twitter asking me what happened. I'm not even too sure that was the actual case, but why do I have to explain to you what I did in my show? It's none of your business. You show up, you buy a ticket, and you see the show. I'm not reaching out to Bob Dylan for explanations about his songs. I'm not asking artists, what does this mean? I enjoy it for what it is. In fact, Bob Dylan said it. Whatever it means to you, that's what it was. So this is my message to you, guy in Florida, who has now threatened me. And he's older, too. It's like, dude, you're in your, I think he's in his 70s. Like, dude, get a grip on life. You're at a comedy show, and the comedian made a face when you said, bring wine. You're on the edge. You got to wake up every morning like I do, and you have to manufacture optimism. You have to figure out what you need to be grateful about, and you need to, like, if you're that old and shit like that bothers you, I feel bad for you. If you're in Los Angeles this week, you can listen to me on the Tim Conway Jr. Show. I'm now a radio guy, 6:40 a.m. in Los Angeles. It's streamed on iHeartRadio. It's this Pacific Standard Time, 4 to 7 p.m. Then the Celtics play. Oh, my Lord. What's going to happen? Oh, what happened to my team? They just collapsed. And if you're in Los Angeles Saturday night, I'll be at the Laugh Factory, 7 p.m. show. Other shows coming up, and my tour is on orneyadams.com/tour. Other shows coming up. Well, we have a rescheduled show for the Comedy and Magic Club June 8th. Is it June 8th? I believe it is June 8th. Yes. And 9th, I'll be at the Ice House again in Pasadena, California. Tickets are on sale now. The Comedy and Magic Club was rescheduled. It was sold out. I'll explain to you what happened. Because only this can happen in my life. I should have known I should have known when a bird flew into my house right before the show. I was about to leave for the show and a bird flew into my house and the bird wouldn't get out of the house. Usually a bird will fly in for a second and then the bird leaves. This bird was like hanging out and wouldn't get out. And I kept, oh yeah, this is the funny, I forgot about the funny part of the story. When it first flew in, I yelled, "Get out! Get out of my house!" Like at the top of my lungs, I'm going, "Get out! Get out!" Like that, right? And my neighbor, it's going to happen again. My neighbor almost called the police because she thought someone was robbing me or attacking me in my house. And I think the husband thought I was fighting with somebody, like a woman. But I was screaming, and they almost, it was exhausting. I ended up having to call a friend. I phoned a friend. It was like a game show. And I had to trap the bird. Because what happened was, the minute the bird, this has happened before. I don't know why birds in California can't stay out of our homes. Stay unhoused, birds. Stay outside. So usually they fly in and then they fly out. Well, this was like sort of a baby bird. Every year, these mourning doves, the parents set up a nest in my yard somewhere, and then they crap all over the place and give birth to another baby bird that now flies into my house. It's a cycle of life of the mourning dove, torturing me, wasting more water spraying the pavement where they crap. I'm tired of the mourning dove. I'm starting to think they're not going to be welcome next year. And I think you know what I mean. I'm not going to say it out loud, but I think you know what I mean. It's weird how we revere life like that. Like people will get upset, like don't torture the birds. Like I was with somebody the other day and walking almost down the side of the highway was a family of ducks, like the mother duck and all the little ducklings. And the person was like so concerned about the ducks and whether the ducks were going to get hit and should we pull over and save the ducks? And I'm like, we just had chicken at lunch. Like, what's the difference? What's the difference? We can't save the world. So I had to, it was scary because the bird kept flapping it, like would get in my face and flap the wing. Like I thought the bird was going to attack me. And I go, I don't want to get like a bunch of shots. I don't have to go to the hospital and go, oh, you might have bird influenza, chicken pox. You might have to, you have got to get 10 weeks of shots. So I was, and it wouldn't leave, and it was sitting right near the door. I'm trying to shoo it out. I'm like trying to take big objects like a chair and sort of push it out. This went on for about a half hour, and I'm like, I gotta get to my show. I'm blowing all my energy. I ended up, it flew into a bathroom. And what I normally do is when the birds come in or a bird comes in, I shut every door so it's sort of contained downstairs. Well, this bird found its way into the guest bathroom and was up against the window. Actually, the window facing the nest where it was born. So maybe there was some poetry to this. And it wouldn't. I tried to throw a towel on it first, but it avoided the towel. And then eventually I went outside and I got a tub. Actually, one of the tubs I keep my merchandise in. And I took the top and I put it up against the wall and I forced. Didn't I do this with a bat? Isn't there a video online of me trying to get a bat and the bat flies away? I think it was in Maine, right? I think there's a video of me and my brother-in-law trying to trap a bat in the house in Maine. And that bat got away. I don't know how that bat, I'll have to ask my family whatever happened to that bat. Did we get it out of the house? But I perfected it now. And so I got the mourning dove in there, the baby mourning dove, which was looked full size to me. And I brought it across the street because now I want it off my property. Now I'm disposing of it, you know, like a body, like you would dispose of a body. And I let the thing go. And there's two of them. There's two of them that are on my property. The two kids, the latest mourning doves to torture me. There's two of them, I think, that were in this nest. And they're back. The one's back. It found its way back here because it has some internal GPS. And it's alive and safe. I saved the bird's life. I'm a hero. So I get in the car. I'm frantic. I'm sweating. I had to rush and shave for my show. I take these shows very seriously. It was sold out. Comedy Magic Club, Hermosa Beach, California. Worked hard promoting it. Sold it out. Felt great. Phone rings. I'm in the car about 20 minutes into my hour and a half trip. And it's the manager, the general manager. There's a problem. There's been a water. Our water heater isn't working. There's no hot water. We can't have a show without hot water. I go, what do you mean you can have a show without hot water? Who needs hot water? Hot water's never made comedy better. Nobody's ever been to a comedy show and it sucked. And they go, you know what? You know why that show sucked? No hot water. No, hot water is, but I guess it's a code, a health violation, which makes sense. They can't wash dishes. People can't wash their hands. So they called a plumber to fix it. Plumber doesn't know. He said, you can pull over and wait for the decision or keep driving. I kept driving. About 15 minutes later, the phone rings. Show's canceled. Show's canceled. Because of a hot water heat. What's wrong with Orny Adams? Only that can happen to me. I'm the only person that could ever have a sold out show that I was excited for all day. All day I'm preparing for the show. I have my notes. You know, I take this stuff very seriously. I keep my energy a certain way. By the way, if you're watching the video, I just keep looking at the monitor. This is not a stain. This is a hole. All right? That's how, a hole in my shirt. That's how rock and roll I am. Look at that. Love this shirt. And I can't wear it when I'm home. My mom goes, you know, there's a hole in your shirt. I'm like, yeah, mom, that's rock and roll. It's rock and roll. So that show is now rescheduled for June 8th, Thursday, June 8th. If you have tickets, they've refunded you. I wish they just like slid them into the June 8th show. So now I've got to resell out my show again. Only me. And then the next night, Friday night, June 9th, comedy. And I'll be at the Ice House again in Pasadena, California. I was just there. This is the newly opened one by Gary Boss. Is it Gary? Yeah, isn't it? The owner of the Lakers. So I'll be there. Then the next day I fly to North Carolina and I'm doing a private show. Love my private shows. Whew. So done with that. Done with that. Done with that. Oh, it reminded me that bird. When I was a kid, I have cousins at a barn in Massachusetts on a lake where there weren't alligators. And we used to sleep in a barn where there were bats. Remember the bats were like flying around. I had a bat in my bedroom once at my home and outside of Boston. It was on the door. Remember, I woke up and there was, I on the door, there was the bat, but I thought it was a mouse. And I went into my parents. I go, there's a mouse on my door. They go, what do you mean on the door? I go, on the side of the door. Well, they knew a mouse couldn't be on the side. They knew it was a bat. So they had to call an exterminator. And then I think they test it for rabies. I've been skirting rabies my whole life. That morning dove tried to give it to me, I'm sure. But yeah, when I was in Massachusetts, I don't want to say the name of the place because I'd love to buy a cabin, a barn. I grew up in a barn. We used to go canoeing, picking wild blueberries, these little tiny Maine blueberries. But this wasn't in Maine, but they were like those small Maine. They were small but packed with deliciousness. Now you buy blueberries, they taste like water. They look perfect. They're big. They're the size of a grape. I mean, blueberries are out of control. And then no flavor. They suck. Because what do we do? We engineer food so it looks good and tastes like shit. And then we have to convince ourselves, we have to create, manufacture optimism about those blueberries. And they suck. They suck. Oh, did you notice what's behind me? Look at that. That's my new friend. It's a pelican. It's a nice piece of art that I bought. I'm not going to tell you where, but I saw this thing on the sale rack. I'm like, I got to get that. Look at it. Just fits in perfect here. Now I have a backdrop for all the people that complain about the backdrop here and my Shasta, big yellow. Let me do this. Let me play a clip. This is me at the Improv, and I was the last comic to go on. And this happened. This was Adam Carolla's show at the Improv. This happens when you're the last to go on. Sometimes somebody has already covered a topic, and I don't watch the show. I know the people that think they understand comedy think that we all know each other's routines. We have no clue what anybody's doing. Comics are too self-involved to watch another person's special or study them. Early on, when you're a young comic, I remember watching people because there weren't that many people. And we were all in this small group in Boston, and we knew what other people were doing. But we all had our own unique experiences. The world has become so homogenized and singular, and we're all fed the same news channels, right? We all see the same thing every day, the same notifications on our phone. We're all discussing the same stuff. So what happened was I was at the Improv, and I talk about, you know, the bit. I have it all over Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, the bit about me saving a life. And somebody else had discussed saving a life. And so I was put in this situation where I had to get around it. And I love this. This is why I love live comedy. So this is me at the Improv. And I'm going to make it nice and big. And you can see this. This is on my social media. But also, this will be on the video. By the way, this video will be on patreon.com/Orny. And later on, it's on YouTube. All my videos, after a while, end up on YouTube, my episodes. So you can see, if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever, Google, you can also watch some of it and some clips on YouTube. YouTube. Okay? And I invite you to join Patreon and support me. Or not. Whatever you want to do. All right, so this is me at the... Let me put the headsets on just in case I need to comment and let you know, since this is mostly an audio podcast. Did somebody do my joke for me tonight? Yeah. Let me do mine and let's vote. Oh, these guys have taken all my topics, aren't they? Did he talk about alligators? Let's go on.
There you go. I'm developing the alligator bit.
Okay. Nobody did this one. Anybody else doing pink Himalayan sea salt jokes? I don't think so. No, I'm digging deep. If people are doing my shit. If there's other comics claiming they've saved lives, then I'm going to dig deep. Anybody else do French fry material? This is such a good show. I don't want to get off. They're giving me the light. I don't know why I'm getting the light. These people have nowhere to go. Bunch of losers in the audience tonight. I look out every night and I see losers that have no life. I am not going to be able to sleep after this show. I'll tell you that much. I am on fire. Yeah, there you go. Oh, I got this letter when I was in Bellflower, California. I want to know what you think of it. And this is a positive. Unlike, you know, the wine guy in Florida that's all upset at me. This is a letter from AT. That's it. I'll use his initials. He sent this to the comedy club. So this is the address. Mr. Orny Adams. I like that he calls me Mr. The stand-up comedy club in Bellflower, California. And it's got the address. And here's the letter. It's written on very nice, very nice. You can see the handwriting. I've had it forensically analyzed. It is the handwriting of a young man. He's using three-ring paper, which is now reinforced. It's like a piece of plastic on the side here. I wish we had this when I was a kid so it wouldn't rip out of the three-ring binder. That's really nice. Boy, these kids are spoiled. Three-ring binder paper has come a long way in my lifetime. Hello, I'm Ace, or A.T., 12-year-old stamp and autograph collector in California. Who collects stamps anymore? I think you are really funny, and I love your sense of humor. Me and my mom hear you on Laugh USA or on car rides to places all the time. You know, start this over. Okay. Hello, I'm Ace, or A.T., a 12-year-old stamp and autograph collector in California. Who collects stamps anymore? I think you are really funny and love your sense of humor. Can you imagine that? A 12-year-old appreciates my sense of humor. I'm reaching all sorts here. Me and my mom listen to you on Laugh USA on car rides to places all the time. I would like you to sign two index... Oh, here comes the ask. I'd like you to sign two index cards that I have included along with this letter. It's over here. It's in the. They're in here. I also include a self-addressed stamp envelope. Oh, we did? Where's that? Hold on. Well, I might just keep the stamp. I might just become a stamp collector. Wouldn't that be ironic? I should just keep the stamp. And he should see this and say, oh, yeah, who's the stamp collector now, AT?
I also included a self-addressed envelope for you to send the index cards in signed. If you can no longer sign, what do you mean no longer sign? What? I got hands. I mean, if I don't want to sign. If you can no longer sign, I completely understand and will respect your privacy. I hope you have a great show. AT. Now, I don't, I'm a little suspicious here. He's a collector. I don't want the kid to monetize my, the value of my signature. It's got to be worth $3 to $4 on a plain index card. So what do I do? Do I sign? I guess I have to, right? Where are these index cards? How do I know the guy's not collecting my DNA? I saw an article about DNA. We shed it everywhere. And now there's something called eDNA, environmental DNA, where we're shedding DNA in the air. Like, they could come in here with a vacuum cleaner, vacuum the air, and have my DNA. I'm not even making this up. This is how scary it is. So if the police want to call you in for questioning, they can actually vacuum your DNA and get it. And listen to this. That's why I don't know if this kid's trying to get my DNA and clone me. Such a big fan. Listening to me on SiriusXM, Laughs USA, kid's probably trying to clone me. He's really going to, and then he's going to make some sort of orny virtual robot, whatever these new things are called. Whatever. Who cares? Listen to this. So you wonder, what happens to our DNA when we leave it behind? And who has the rights to it, okay? The Fourth Amendment, okay, that's the one that prohibits unreasonable search and seizure without probable cause, is also supposed to prevent the erosion of privacy by a powerful new technology. However, since the early 2000s, many prosecutors and courts have taken the stance that any DNA not still attached to a person has been abandoned. That's a legal term, abandoned. You've abandoned your DNA. That's why they're allowed to go through your trash and stuff like that, meaning that the police don't need a warrant to collect it. But it may be almost impossible to avoid leaving DNA in public, meaning you're leaving it all the time. May be impossible to avoid. Yeah, Dr. Duffy, that can't be his name, Dr. Duffy, and his colleagues found that they could successfully collect airborne human DNA even from people wearing gloves and surgical masks and gowns. There you go. We got a scary world going on here. We got a scary world. The good news is Skittles is being banned in California. Now you think this is a joke, right? You go, that can't be real. That can't be real, is it? Yeah, it's real. It's real. Where is it? Where's the Skittles? There's a perfectly good reason that the Skittles are being banned. California is one step closer to enacting a law that would ban Skittles. This is from the LA Times. Hot tamales and a host of other food items that contain chemicals linked to health issues. Assembly Bill 418, proposed by Jesse Gabriel, Democrat, Woodland Hills, passed overwhelmingly in a California State Assembly last week and now heads to the state Senate, where it's also being expected to pass. Okay. Governor Gavin Newsom has not indicated whether or not he would sign the legislation. Now, the reason the Skittles are being banned, it actually makes a lot of sense. There's dye in there. There is Skittle dye. Where's page 4? Has anybody seen page 4? Okay. Where's page 5? Continues. The bill would prohibit the manufacture or sale or distribution of products containing red dye number 3, titanium dioxide, potassium bromate, brominated vegetable oil, which is delicious. I think we all love a little brominated vegetable oil from time to time. Propyl paraben in the Golden State. What do we call the Golden State? I'm sick of the Golden State moniker. Those chemicals, which are already banned in the European Union, have been linked to cancer, reproductive issues, and development issues in children. More stuff you got to wake yourself up and manufacture optimism about. And then there's a quote from somebody who, it's crazy. It's crazy. So it sounds like a joke. Well, if we're going to talk about like dyes, how are any of these sports drinks allowed to have those colors? Like you look at like Gatorade and Powerade, that green, what is that, engine coolant green? Like that shouldn't be allowed. That shouldn't be allowed in my body. Well, I'm running out of time. I wanted to talk about this woman. Here's the article. I'll talk about it on the Tim Conway Show this Friday, maybe then on my next podcast. Tenants Price is Right win raises tension in nearly three-year rent dispute. Somebody is refusing to pay rent in California, and then the landlord sees them on the Price is Right, and they want a $27,000 car. I'll get into the details. I'll research a little bit more, but that's that. Let me talk about this. This has got to end, okay? What's going on with the napkins? Look at this. Look at this. See-through. I'm holding up to the camera. Can you see through? It's translucent. This is a napkin. I don't know what's going on with falafel places and pizza joints, but they're given these napkins that have about the consistency and weight and density and toughness of a tissue. How much money are you saving these restaurants by giving us this crap? Give us a nap. Here's a napkin for my house. This has got substance. You can wipe. These things, they hurt. They're not absorbent. They always give you like three. How much could I looked it up. A tissue is 0.002 cents. So how much could this crappy, just give us regular napkins. Meanwhile, I go to find out like how much a tissue costs, and then I end up reading discussion boards. Numerous people in the tissue community are very concerned about why box tissues, the square box tissues, are more expensive than the rectangle tissues. And there's a logical reason. They're more expensive to manufacture. They take longer for the equipment. The packaging is more difficult, meaning the technology, there is actual tissue technology, and the technology is very difficult. It's very difficult to get those into the box, so they pull out one at a time. So they're almost twice the price. And people like those square boxes. But that's what I'm doing. I should be living my life. I mean, I have such a great life. I've manufactured optimism all over the place. So I have such a great... I can tell you. I wake up in the morning, and I'll tell you what I have to be optimistic about. I sit there and go, this person hasn't returned my call. This hasn't gone through. Where's the contract for this? How come this... I'm not being booked at this place anymore. How come millions of people watching my video is not leading to that? Like, it's all, woe is me, which is what people do in life. And then I have to sit there and convince myself. I turn on the news, it's all crap. And then I have to sit there and convince myself it's not that bad when it really is that bad. Because manufactured chaos is leading to me having to manufacture optimism. And I'm tired of it. I'm going to talk about something before I get out of here. And by the way, if you want to keep in touch, and thank you for all the emails, it is whatswrong@ornyadams.com. whatswrong@ornyadams.com. And don't put a little apostrophe in the S there. It's not W-H-A-T apostrophe S. It's what's with no apostrophe, because I'm a rebel. I'm not going to let a little grammar get in the way of a great email name. whatswrong@ornyadams.com. My tour is at ornyadams.com/tour. Not touring as much. I'm using a lot of discretion where I go now, because flying has become miserable and the hotels are miserable. Nobody gives a crap anymore about you on these airplanes. Fights are breaking out. Go to hotels. People don't even look up when they check you in. They don't care. Nobody cares anymore. Humanity is dead, folks. It's dead. But this, I was going to open with this. This is what's great about this podcast. I have these pre-baked ideas, and then once the mic comes on, it's, everything changes. Everything changes. I went to IKEA. Now, what's going on at IKEA? This happened at IKEA, and then I was at Costco the other day. There were these middle-aged women that are doing blogs from these stores. Like, in Costco, there was a woman in front of the flower section going, "Hey, ladies, you got to get out to Costco. You got to get out and get the peonies. These peonies for $9.99. Ba, ba, ba." I should have videotaped it. I'm sitting there. I'd like to look at the peonies, but not be an extra in your blog video. I should have videotaped it. But if I put it up here, that'd be the most exposure she ever got. Same thing with IKEA. Got to get the IKEA. This lady's reviewing stuff. Like, her word is so sacred. Like, wow. I saw this on a blog. It's like, when did people start doing ads for these corporations. IKEA doesn't need your help. IKEA doesn't need your help. Do an ad for Orny Adams. They're going around. I just want to shop. Everyone's videotaping everywhere. The gym, people videotape themselves. Guy the other day was on doing bench press for the chest, took his shirt off and had his friend videotape it. And I'm in the background going, making this face. This is part of the video. At IKEA, I had to time my shopping around the lady, the woman, doing a blog about different, like, these containers. I'm telling you, you got to get down $3.99, get them while they last. I mean, it's like a car salesman. Why are they doing this in public? I wish people would stop. I'm looking into the camera and I'm telling you this. Most of you should not be on camera. There it is. Controversial, but I'm saying it. So at IKEA, 75% off are these. Milk chocolate bunnies. This sounds like a joke. And I know everybody, here's a good example. Everybody has joked about IKEA. Everybody. I get it. But now I think they're actually creating things for us to joke about because people stop joking about it. This is a bunny. I think it was left over from Easter because it was 75% off. It's called the Vakasansla, the Vakansla milk chocolate bun. This, I know this sounds like a joke. Look at this. Self-assembly. You have to put together the bunny. Kids, let me tell you something, IKEA. Kids don't want to put together the bunny. They want to come in from the Easter egg hunt. They want to sit down and they want the bunny fully assembled with the air pockets in the middle. Those hollow bunnies. You just want to break the head off and you just want to break the head off. This thing you have to, look at this. I'm opening it up. I'm unboxing the self-assembly. I mean, what at IKEA doesn't involve assembly? I'd like to see the ladies' blog on this. I'm pretty sure it's not as entertaining as me, but this is, I'm unboxing. Okay, there's instructions. Here are the instructions. It's in two steps, which is, according to me, two steps too many. You know what I like? Peanut M&Ms. No assembly required. You open this up, you just start eating. Kit Kat, it's the opposite. It's you disassemble. You tear it off. That's what I like. Not this. Let's see if I can put it together. Let's see if I can figure out the two steps. Doing this in real time, people. This is the commitment I have to this podcast. I spent probably 50 cents on this. So here it is. Step one. I'm going to put this in front of my computer. I'm already lost. How is this going to look like a bunny? This thing looks like a bear. Doesn't that look like a bear with its claws? It smells good, though. Okay, now this. This looks like this goes here. No, I am not even doing a bit. Wait a minute. This goes here. Wait a minute. This, I'm looking at the picture, right? So, I had it upside down. All right. So this, okay, I got it. This goes here. So that's step one. One is complete, everybody. That's why it didn't look like a bunny. I had it upside down. And then this goes here. Like this. Okay. Does that look like a bunny to anybody? First of all, what's wrong with this ear? This doesn't look like a bunny to me. Let's try it. Let's see if the chocolate's any good. I'm trying this chocolate bunny, which is probably stale. Not bad. I'm giving this. The assembly is way too difficult. I'm college educated. I had trouble putting this together. Can't imagine the kids are putting it together and there's any fun. So this is a fail. And it has 490 calories. That is a huge fail. I want to thank you, the listener. I want to thank Ernesto Hurtado. I want to thank the people picking up trash in the background. Because without the trash people, we would have trash everywhere. So thank you. Let's take a moment, a pause, to thank the trash people. The people that drive those trucks and put the trash in the truck, they don't get out of the trucks in Los Angeles. They have an electronic arm that goes, I want to thank them. Without you guys, we would have to drive to the dump like when I was a kid. So thank you, trash people. And thank you for now not being loud and overriding my podcast. I want to thank Ernesto Hurtado for mastering the audio. But I really want to thank you guys, the listeners. You guys are so cool. This podcast is growing more and more. I'm amazed at how many people are contacting me and listening, and I'm looking at the numbers going up. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I'm going to end on this. I should play a little bit of the theme, right? I should play a little underneath me. Yeah, right? Because then it's official,
what's
right?
What's your name, Kev?
Arnie. There you go. Episode 81, What's Wrong with Ornie Adams? You can contact me at whatswrong@ornieadams.com. Go to ornieadams.com, just ornieadams.com for everything. Or teamwhatswrong.com. That's a lot to remember. It really is. I'm going to play one more video before we get out of here. I just edited this. This is from when I was at the Comedy Store. Remember when I was at the Comedy Store in La Jolla? Well, I was inspired because somebody came up to me at the gym yesterday. And they said, man, you're killing it. You really are. Like, I'm seeing your videos bubble up all over the place. In fact, I just asked on Twitter how people know me, and it's interesting. So here's a video of me doing a show at the Comedy Store in La Jolla, California. And I'm just going to shut this. I'm going to pull this all the way down and shut it off. This is me on stage, and I was talking about funerals. And somebody said, we just came from a funeral. I don't know how that's possible, but there was an entire family that had just come from their mother's funeral, and they ruined the show. They ruined the show. It was a fun comedy show, and now I have to address this. But again, this is what I love about live comedy. This is what you don't get on TV, is the spontaneity and things that happen just one time. This will never happen again. And if it does, I'm more prepared because I've written more in my head, but it won't. That's why you go to live shows and to be around strangers and see what other people are laughing at and the commonalities. Because you look around and you go, whoa, whoa, look at this person, so different than me. Look at that person. They're different than me. They don't think like me. They don't politically, blah, blah, blah. We're all the same. We're all laughing at the same stuff. And so I took this subject, which was really sort of like it could have gone either way. But I noticed the family that had been to the funeral that I was making fun of were laughing harder than anybody else. I had a great read on the room and the situation. So they brought this up, and I sort of, I go through it. It turned out the mother died 3 months ago. They brought her ashes out from Austin, Texas, and they were going to spread the ashes in San Diego, or had that day. That might not be clear from the video. But I'll talk over this if there's any questions at all. And again, this is up on YouTube and all my social media, and it's getting a little traction. Thank you, everybody, and enjoy this clip.
You went to a funeral today.
Went to a funeral today.
This is what people do. They celebrate funerals. They come to see me. Did you really go to a funeral today? Oh, the whole group did? Do you mind if I ask? What, go ahead. You have a question?
No, it was my mother.
Your mother.
She said it was her mother. It was her mother's funeral.
This is a comedy show. Did your mother really pass away? Okay.
Now I'm just sitting on the chair. I've given
way
up.
Way to make my show about your dead mother. Seriously. She was 91. Yeah. She would be here. Great. So I lost a ticket sale.
She said she would be here tonight.
She said she would have been here tonight, but she's dead. Great. Did you buy a ticket? I'll refund it. I'm sorry, but everybody has questions. I can't. Like, every table is yelling something out. They have a question, a concern. Was she my biggest fan? People go, why should we see live comedy when we can watch it on TV every night? And this is a prime example right here. I'm sorry about your loss. It really, and was it?
No, it was 3 months ago. We just brought her out to San Diego.
Okay, see, now the story is becoming less. She died 3 months ago. They just brought her out here. This is, they've had time to mourn. Let's not be so sympathetic, okay? I got a ma'am, ma'am, sit down. Her mother's dead. Sit down. Sit down and show some respect. I bet her mom would like to go to the bathroom right now, but she can't. She's dead. Sit down. I'm sorry, seriously, I shouldn't be joking about this.
I love live comedy. I love it. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to enjoy some IKEA chocolate now. We'll see you in the next one.